Have you ever listened to a song? Perhaps you were listening on the radio or on your Spotify list or whatever, and a song came on and you heard the lyrics and you thought, this song is about me. You know, as you listened to the words, you just so resonated with it, you thought, wow, just the details of this song connect so much with the details of my life. And you wonder, maybe I'm not so alone in the world. Maybe at least one other person, this songwriter, is also going through something similar as me. And if that's true, if you resonate with that, and if you also listen to country music, I just want to say I'm so sorry for what you're going through. I mean, the worst things happen in country music, right? Your dog ran away and the barn burnt down and you, I don't know, ran out of beer. I don't know what happens. Anyways, I hope you don't go through all of those things. And, you know, as Christians, we sure do find that the details of our lives are found in the Psalms, don't we? The Psalms, and these are actually songs that were written for the first believers. And, you know, when we study the psalm that we'll study today is actually probably maybe number one on the psalm billboards for the past 3,000 years. That's one we're going to study today. And I just want to invite you to turn to Psalm 23. It's page 483 in the Pew Bibles, or you can read along on the screen. And we're going to listen to King David's song. He's going to share his testimony in the form of a song. This is what he says. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. So like I say, this must be one of the most bookmarked pages in so many believers' Bibles. I mean, millions of people have read it or remembered it in times of tragedy or in perhaps the last moments of their life. Some may think that Psalm 23 is mainly just a psalm for those who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I think as we take a closer look, it will show us that Psalm 23 really resonates with the whole Christian life, the whole Christian experience, because for one, these are my 3 points. It describes the Christian profession, it describes the Christian life, and it also describes the Christian hope. So Psalm 23 describes the Christian profession. This is our declared beliefs. And let's just look at the first 3 words of what David says. He says, the Lord is. The Lord is, and by this is maybe obvious, we know that David is a theist. David believes in God, and obviously that's important if he's writing stuff in the Bible, but it's important because Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. And then if you read Psalm 23, along with the other 72 psalms that David wrote, you get this wonderful picture of David's beliefs, his theology, what he believes about who God is and what he does. And you'll read about that God is full of love and grace and mercy and kindness, that he sits on the throne of the universe, that he is sovereign. God is who he is, always and for all eternity. And then this Hebrew name that gets translated as Lord, this Hebrew name is Yahweh. And this is the name God used for himself back in Exodus 3:14 when he told Moses, I am who I am. And this implies to us that God is self-sufficient and all-powerful. God is unchanging, and he's infinitely powerful, wise, loving, righteous, and good. So, as our shepherd, he is most worthy of our absolute trust, our love, and our loyalty like no other. The Lord is. So let's add another two words, and we're not going to go through it one word at a time. That would take a couple hours, but I feel like there's so much in these first five words. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And notice that David doesn't just say, the Lord is the shepherd of all Israel. I mean, he could have said that. That would have been biblical for him to say that. But here he says, the Lord is my shepherd. This is something personal and something rather humbling, if you think about it, and unbelievable and wonderful. The way that the God of the universe relates to his people is like how a good shepherd relates to his sheep. And just like those who will be baptized today, David professed his faith in God, and he's saying here that trusting God as my shepherd has changed everything. We find in another psalm, he sang the words, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple." That's Psalm 27. And in another psalm, David declared, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him." David, like all believers, he was far from perfect, wasn't he? He knew his need for God's mercy and God's forgiveness. One time he prayed to the Lord, "Wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin, for I am conscious of my rebellion and my sin is always before me. Against you alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Turn your face away from my sins and blot out all my guilt." That's Psalm 51. David understood his need also for spiritual renewal in his heart. This is what we call sanctification. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit to renew a person's thinking and their feeling and their acting to help them become more like Jesus. So David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." David prayed all these things for himself, but you know, we can pray those same things because all of humanity is really in the same boat. We all need the good shepherd to save us, and we can pray the same way. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 that we all have gone astray like sheep. We have all turned our own way. So in other words, the whole human race, we have ignored God, we have sinned against him, and all people are under his judgment until we confess our sin, our guilt, and ask for forgiveness, and we receive the gift of salvation, which is found in Jesus Christ, God's own Son. And this is really the gospel. God sent Jesus into the world in order to live a perfect life, one that we could never live, and to take our punishment on the cross. He died on the cross, and he rose victorious from the grave to defeat the power of sin and death for those who trust in him. So everyone who trusts in Jesus for salvation will be saved. That's the Christian profession. That's what we call the gospel, the good news of peace and fellowship with God by grace through faith in Christ. And the people that will be baptized today, they believe in this gospel, and they are also professing Jesus as their only hope in life and in death. So point one was Psalm 23 describes the Christian profession. Now, point two is Psalm 23 also describes the Christian life. And you notice just the variety of settings that the sheep finds themselves in. You know, we had the green pastures, we had the righteous paths, there were dark valleys, And they were, in the end, they were dwelling in the Lord's house and having this victory meal in plain view of enemies. It's fascinating, all these different environments. And to me, it seems to speak well of what the Christian life involves, metaphorically speaking, of course. And that means that life with the shepherd, this first one here, the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. Life with the shepherd is one of abundance. It's one of refreshment and rest and security. It's one of renewal and one of correction and being reoriented and guided and protected. God gives us so many reasons also to have just a better eternal perspective on reality. And this leads us to have confidence and assurance and boldness and great freedom and joy in this life. It's no wonder that David even preaches this to himself. He says, I have what I need. Now, how does God give David what he needs? In verse 2, he is here lying in the grass by a stream. And, you know, we can tell by this that this is part of his daily routine. We know it's frequent because, you see, the shepherd leads. The shepherd leads me, and he renews me. It doesn't say, there was this one time that I was brought to some grass and water, and the Lord restored my soul. No, this is an ongoing thing. It implies that a relationship with God involves spending time with him daily, to read his word, to pray, and it's not just this one quick trip to the grass and water on the way to getting to some other source of food. It's in this environment that the Lord really renews our soul and progressively makes us more like Jesus. Once we have asked for Jesus to save us, once we become a Christian, that's when we can be progressively made more like Jesus. And I just want to say that reading the Bible and praying, I think it can be a struggle for a lot of people. And if it's a struggle for you, I didn't ask John permission, but I know he would love to do this. He and I would love to brainstorm ideas with you about, you know, what can that look like, this time in the Word and praying. Can we give you some ideas? I mean, him and I are sheep too, you know, and maybe we can let you know where we have found some tasty grass, you know, and maybe you can let us know too where, you know, how has the Lord been feeding you? This is really the beauty of the church as we're all together. And this is really what I mean. It's like we can help each other find ways to read the Bible, and perhaps we can suggest books, prayer journaling, and things like that. Because verse 3 here, when we read the Bible, really what happens is the Lord exposes to us the wrong paths that we are on, and he leads us onto the right paths for his name's sake. And the same as, you know, as we pray, our burdens will lift and our joy will increase. He will help us to be reoriented to him and to his perspective. And he wants to hear from us. You know, just as a father wants to hear their child come to them with their requests, he wants to hear from us. He wants to help us. So that's why prayer is good. And he also renews us in this Christian community that we have with other sheep. You know, if we go out into the world on our own without his help and without each other, at some point we are going to become wolf food, you know, and or we might just put on a wolf costume to survive. And that's why believers need each other to help us not do that. In verse 4, time in his word and in prayer and obediently walking in righteous paths that he leads us to, it prepares us. It prepares us for the day that life gets hard. You know, we read about walking through the valley of darkness. And when we spend this time with the Lord, it makes us able to say with David, bring on these dark valleys. Bring on the valley of loss and pain and loneliness and rejection and fear. I have Jesus, so I lack nothing, and so I shall not want. We know that David himself walked through some dark times. He was on the run for his life at one time. He lived in a cave. His own son tried to steal the throne from him, and he always had enemies nearby. But he feared no danger, because he said, "For you were with me." Now, the Apostle Paul, while in prison, he put it this way in Philippians 4, verse 11. I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So yeah, this is a real description of what God provides. You know, of course he provides our daily needs, our physical needs, but most importantly, God gives his followers what they need to be able to follow him faithfully wherever he leads us. And I think sometimes new Christians might be a little shocked to know that there are dark valleys in life. They maybe perhaps thought there would only be grass and water. But for Christians, those valleys have meaning and a divine purpose. Sometimes God might lead us to the darkest part of a valley because that's where we will find the sweetest grass and the best water. This is where we really taste and see that the Lord is good. In the Bible, it never promises an escape from suffering and pain in this life. It promises something better. It promises that we will always have the Lord's presence. The verse says, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. And because the Lord comes to us, he's equipped with a rod to fight off predators and with a staff to pull us sheep away when we're getting too close to a cliff. David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God uses all of these hardships as a tool to renew the believer's soul. Romans 8, verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. All of these things, the suffering and what we go through, God is using like a hammer and chisel to make us more like Jesus, and it's all according to his good purposes. So we have the setting of the grass and the water and the dark valleys, and skipping ahead to the end of the psalm, we have this other environment for the Christian life, which is known as the house of the Lord. And in David's day, that would have been the tabernacle. Today, it's the church. And later, believers will dwell in the Lord's house forever. Notice again, it doesn't describe being in God's presence as a one-time thing, but as a joyful, lifelong commitment and privilege. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. And this means whether I am here on earth or alive in eternity, I want to be with God in the house of the Lord, with the people of God, to love and to serve one another, to hear the word of the Lord, to sing and to worship him. I want to make this a priority in my life. So point one and two was that Psalm 23 describes the Christian faith and the life. And point three is Psalm 23 describes the Christian hope. For Christians, the walk in the valley of the shadow of death, it does not end in darkness. In Christ, we walk through the darkness and into the light of eternal life on the other side. And yes, we will have dark times. And yes, one day we will die. But Jesus has removed the sting of death. And at the end of our life here on earth, believers will rise from the dead to life in the new creation. And we will know the joy of being with Jesus forever. And it's this truth that has helped millions of Christians face all kinds of difficulties and hardships, and even death with a twinkle in their eye. I think of this famous hymn with this line, "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head." This is one of the last hymns William Cowper wrote from the 18th century. He's a believer who really lived in the dark valley of mental illness and depression. And he had a good friend named John Newton. Perhaps you've heard a song he wrote called "Amazing Grace." And John Newton was a good friend of him that walked with him through darkness and encouraged him. And over the years, William Cowper wrote many hymns that have encouraged believers, people who have walked through similar dark valleys. And this is interesting to me that the Lord, I believe, used William Cowper in this way. Our Christian hope, it is in our shepherd, Jesus. What he has done for us on the cross and what he promises to do for our future. Now in verse 5 here, we see that the metaphor changes a little bit. The Lord is our shepherd and he is also our host. He is our host who invites us into his home for a meal in the presence of my enemies. What a wild picture this is, hey? Imagine you are chewing on your mashed potatoes and you're enjoying this time in the presence of the Lord with the people of God, and you look out the window, out in the cold, there are these enemies like looking in at you. This is this wild picture. I think of it as just this picture of security and even just joyful defiance, how we can just sit there and enjoy this meal. It's such an amazing picture of what Jesus has accomplished for us. And what else is going on in this meal? And in verse 5, David says, "You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." Now, I'll be honest, getting oil poured on your head is not one that I connect to, because I'm always worried that my head is really shiny, and that's not one that really hits the spot for me. But in that culture, it would be something very refreshing. Just imagine in being in a very dry and weary place and very warm, and just being exposed to the elements of life, just how refreshing it would be to have some oil dumped on you. It's just this picture of refreshment and healing. And then also this metaphor of our cups overflowing. This is just a metaphor of never needing to be thirsty again spiritually. We have our cups overflowing, and it's this picture of how we will be satisfied, and there will be no end to the joy we will have in the house of the Lord. Coming to Jesus changes everything. It changes how we will face the end, darkness and death and judgment. You know, all of those things before we met Christ, all of those things were pursuing us before we came to God for salvation. We look in our rearview mirror and we would see death on our tail. But now verse 6 says, "Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." The Lord himself will pursue us, and he will be our loving shepherd. He will walk behind us, beside us, in front of us. He will fly over us. He will be the rock under us. He will dwell in us by his Holy Spirit. He will keep our souls safe until the day we come to our heavenly home. So Psalm 23 describes the profession, the life, and the hope of a Christian. And I want to ask, do the details of this song resonate with the details of your life? Do you want Jesus to be your Lord? Do you want him to be your shepherd? And if so, will you follow him wherever he leads you? Will you lie down and feed, or will you just run off and go your own way? Will you eat and drink his word? Will you come to him in prayer instead of eating the food of false shepherds? Will you allow the Lord to renew your soul by his Holy Spirit? When you go into dark valleys, will you cling to him Or will you look for another guide? Will you view his correction as good, something that brings you comfort and security? You know, I think a lot of non-believers are wrongly comforted by reading Psalm 23. It's like some people think they might just go their whole life ignoring God, get to the end of their life and flip open to Psalm 23 and sort of recite it like it's some kind of spell that they are reciting to somehow conjure up peace. I don't believe it will work that way. And it's really only a relationship with the Good Shepherd coming to Jesus for salvation. And it's only in that way that we can have this peace, this abundant life and unshakable joy, this unshakable hope. So if you haven't done that, if you haven't come to Christ for salvation, and maybe you have questions about that, I just want to invite you perhaps to stay after the service. You can come speak to me or Pastor John. We would love to talk to you about that and answer any questions you might have about that. And for us, us believers, I just want to encourage you, even these first five words, to hide these words in your heart. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's pretty easy to memorize and very powerful as you go throughout your day, as you have false shepherds come to you and you say, no, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, or as you face dark times, you can say to yourself, the Lord is my shepherd. I encourage you just to hide those words in your heart, preach it to yourself as you go throughout the day and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you onto righteous paths and see what happens. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm. Lord, we see that it describes a kind of life I think that we all want, and yet we find that it's so hard to live this way at times. I know a lot of people feel this way, Lord, and we come to you, we ask for your grace, for your forgiveness, for your mercy, for you to change our hearts, to renew us, Lord. And Jesus, we thank you for being the good shepherd, that you came to find the lost sheep, that you laid down your life to save us, that you promised to never abandon us, and that no one can take us out of your hand. Father, we praise you for the baptisms that will be happening later today. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that who will declare that Jesus is their Savior and their Shepherd. May you be honored and glorified in it all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.